fact that, you know, we talk about Medicaid and we talk about all these programs as if they're line items. And, you know, we don't sometimes talk about the people behind them and the people who rely on them. And these cuts impact real people. Real people are being hurt as we speak. You can save money without hurting people. You can actually save money by helping people.
On saving money, DOGE is experiencing some backlash, it seems. There's all these articles talking about DOGE quietly deleting the five biggest spending cuts it claimed it made from last week's story in the New York Times. USA Today, science agency reinstates some fired employees. The Independent saying scientists reviewing Musk's own Neuralink were fired and then rehired by the FDA. The USDA is rehiring people to try to address the bird flu. And more locally, we're hearing about closures looming for this summer for the Fish and Wildlife Service's headquarters in Hadley, where 36 probationary workers seem to have already been fired. And then a new story today that the Natural Resources Conservation Service office in Amherst, where it's been for 45 years, has been ID'd for closure. We've also got the Supreme Court weighing in, saying these cuts appear to be illegal, and it's seemingly a movement to run these cuts through Congress, which would be the appropriate channeled, whether you agree with the cuts or not. Where do you think things are right now with the power of DOGE and perhaps a pumping of the brakes on their ability to just slash and burn the federal government?
As you said, much of what they're doing is illegal, and the courts are backing us up on that. If you want to cut these programs, you come to Congress and you have Congress cut the budget or eliminate the programs that you don't like. But much of the damage is already being done because, you know, when you fire workers, you know, on a Monday, even if you hire them back the following Monday, people feel demoralized. Mm-hmm. But also, there are a lot of people who say, you know what, I got a family to support. I've got to pay my rent. I got to pay my mortgage. I don't have unlimited savings. I can't be without a job. So maybe I need to look someplace else to work. And we're losing expertise. We're losing the brilliance of many, many researchers and scientists who are now saying, I can't count on funding for my research. You know, maybe I should stop the research and just get a job in the private sector. I can make more money and I don't have to worry about whether or not my research will start on one day and then end on another and restart. And there are already negative impacts to what Elon Musk is doing. He had no idea about what these people do and the importance of their public service to our communities. He doesn't have to rely on the VA for health care. He didn't care whether or not there's waiting list or people can't talk to a human being, or, you know, they can't get the support services they need. He's never been in a supermarket. I mean, he doesn't understand, you know, what the impacts of some of his cuts are going to be on increasing the cost of living for people, not to mention the tariffs that are now being put in place. So this is all very, you know, haphazard and thoughtless, but it's not good for our country, and it's creating a great deal of uncertainty. I also want to remind people, you know, when there's an impression out there when Musk or Trump talk about cutting federal workers, everything's always the people who work in Washington. No, the majority of federal workers are working in our communities and in our states all across the country. People are now realizing that in Massachusetts, as people who work in regional federal offices are being laid off. What's particularly maddening to a lot of people is that they had performance reviews that gave them excellent ratings, and now they're being terminated because of performance. Mm-hmm. I talked to one federal worker who said, so that means you're firing me, even though I got a great performance review, but you're now saying I don't have a good performance review, so you're firing me and making it more difficult for me to find another job. And that's particularly cruel.
I did mention, you know, the stories that have been coming out about the NRSC Amherst potential closure, the potential Fish and Wildlife closure in Hadley. These things are hitting home. We heard from farmers last week about some of the grants that had been cut that they were counting on. Would you advise, with the Supreme Court weighing in and in seemingly kind of stopping the DOGE cuts from going through fully, that people wait and see? Or what should people do that are being directly impacted by even the threat of these cuts?
Well, first of all, my hope is that the courts can overturn many of these cuts. And it's easy for me to say, you know, hold on. Some people can't. But I really do believe that much of what they're doing is illegal and will be overturned. And I do not believe that Congress will go in and reinstitute the cuts that Elon Musk has already suggested we put in place. And again, a lot of the stuff we're hearing today may change tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you know, Trump seems to be all over the place. My hope is that the courts will do the right thing. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I actually agreed with the Supreme Court yesterday. I thought they decided correctly when it came to to our foreign aid.
A listener question from Fran Cameron, who said, a week or two ago, an executive order decriminalized bribing and accepting bribes from foreign government officials. Then the order to decriminalize legalized money laundering. Do you have any words for these moves? Doesn't giving permission to launder money make life easier for organized crime, drug traffickers, and human traffickers? Fran then adds, thanks and keep up the hard work, Congressman. Ditto to me and Khalees and the team. Oh, thanks, Fran. Your take on that story of Trump banning bribery of foreign officials. This is a news story. The Foreign Corrupt Practices Act was something that was passed. An executive order seems to have overturned that.
Yeah, I'm interested to know what the backstory on all of this is, because we'll probably find out that he's got a friend that is impacted by all of this. But let's be clear what's happening. Since he's come in, chaos is up, corruption is up, and costs are up. You know, you look at his pardons. I mean, he pardoned the guy who got a life sentence for, you know, allowing all this fentanyl to come into the United States. But he was pardoned. This is a guy, again, who's very transactional. And I think we're going to find out, you know, that the reason behind some of these moves that he's making and some of these executive orders ties into something that he has financial interest in. This is an administration that is corrupt. You know, they make Nixon look like a Boy Scout.
Final question. It's sort of self-serving because I work for public radio. And it was kind of with a little bit from my bosses saying, hey, maybe you should talk to the congressman about this. He was down there lobbying in Washington, D.C. last week.
Yeah.
But today is Protect My Public Media Day. And God bless Dan Finn, a listener who decided to send in this question. So it takes the heat off me and my bosses. He said, I called Jim McGovern's office today about the importance of public radio and television and how they have a civilizing force on our country. Dan is asking all of our listeners to know about the congressional switchboard. Gets access to all the members of the House and Senate. Public media will be up for debate in front of a committee that is fronted by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Your take on public media, protecting public media on this Protect My Public Media Day, and the potential cuts that public media faces?
I support public media. I will fight to protect the funding for public media. And I'm saying that not just because I'm doing your show right now, but because Dan is right. It does have a civilizing impact on our community. Look, we need to report stories and we need to have conversations that may not always be, you know, the kind of high ratings, sensationalistic kind of news stuff that you see too often in other media outlets. Public media also is a way for people in the community to know more about what's happening in their own community. This is vital. We see these are the authoritarian tendencies of Trump and of the Republicans in Congress. They want to not only eliminate public media, they want to control all the media. And I think this is a very, very dangerous thing that is happening. We have to fight back. If you tune into the Marjorie Taylor Greene hearing, it will be depressing because she's living in a different universe. But I do think that there are even some Republicans who understand the value of public media, and hopefully we can prevent any cuts from happening.
Maybe I can go down there Mr. Rogers style like he did in the 1970s and like sing a Mr. Rogers song, and maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene's heart will grow three sizes that day and then public media will be saved.
Yeah, I don't know whether Marjorie Taylor Greene can handle you, but it's something you should think about.
Despite the fact that the RNC has now banned in-person town hall meetings due to some of the pushback specifically from veterans, you will be continuing your town hall meetings. You have another coffee with a congressman this weekend at Holliston High. And then I just got a press release today that you'll also be hosting a town hall in Greenfield coming up relatively shortly, Tuesday, March 18th in the evening. Despite the vitriol that I see every time you post any of these coffee with congressman meetings there, the insults and whatnot, I think listeners and constituents appreciate you're making yourself available, not only in person, but also on this show. So thank you for continuing to host these.
And some of these people who post these really kind of nasty comments have the guts to show up and speak to me straight to my face. You have a problem. These are open to everybody, and some people do. But the bottom line is the majority of people that are showing up are people who are deeply concerned about the direction that this country is moving in. You know, again, what gives me hope is the fact that people are showing up. People who have never been to a town hall meeting ever in their life are showing up. You know, that tells me something is happening in this country, that there is a resistance that is growing of people pushing back and not wanting us to move in a direction that, quite frankly, is like what you see happening in so many other countries, a move toward authoritarianism. And so I feel hopeful that, you know, that we can push, we can prevail here. But it's not going to be easy, and people can't get exhausted, and people have to take care of themselves, because this is going to be a long, difficult fight.
That answers my final question, Congressman. That's the hope. And there is, as I mentioned, a Coffee with the Congressman at Holliston High School this Saturday, if you're in that area. And there will be an upcoming town hall meeting in the evening on March 18th in Greenfield. Thanks, as always, Congressman, for joining us. If you've got a question for the Congressman or a shameless plug for public radio like Dan Finn did, you can